When you're starting out as an online entrepreneur, you wear all the hats, right? You learn all the tools, you figure out the strategies, and basically you just do all the things. But as it piles up, it can start to feel majorly overwhelming. There are too many moving pieces, too many tasks on the to-do list, and you may even start to get that burnout. Usually, what happens next is you hire your first VA. But let me tell you, that can be a big mistake. Do you know what actually should come first? Creating systems. A system is a process you develop and use in your business for every single repeatable task, and they can be game changers. Often, once we've implemented effective systems, we may still need to hire a new team member, but we can save so much money by not needing them for as many hours, and the training and onboarding process can be so much easier. On today's episode, we have a systems expert, Tasha Booth, coming in to talk to us about how we can create the right systems in our business, some best practices, and some hot tips and hacks we can use to start working smarter. That is all coming up on today's episode of the Passive Project Podcast. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. All right, everybody. I am really excited about today's guest. Today, we've got Tasha Booth on the podcast. Welcome, Tasha, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to dive in with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So for Tasha, for those who aren't familiar with you and your business, can you let everybody know kind of like what it is you do and who you serve and how you help them?
Absolutely. So I am the CEO and founder of The Launch Guild. We're an online business management and course launch support agency. So I have an amazing team of 20 that helps with all things digital marketing implementation, especially course and podcast launches. And I also coach and mentor VAs, OBMs, and project managers on how to grow and scale their businesses.
I love that. I love that you built out an agency model for digital entrepreneurs because that's so... It's so like against the grain sort of like what everybody else does. And it's such a needed, like, I'm not surprised that you have a team of 20 because I feel like it's such a needed service.
It definitely is. And it came out of me originally being a virtual assistant and just seeing the need with the clients that I was serving. Anytime they had something new that they were launching, we'd have to like find a Facebook ads manager or find a graphic designer to build the page. And it just became so much of a hassle that I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to hire everybody internally and then I can help everyone.
Totally. So is that the kind of, do your clients tend to come to you when they're launching something brand new for the first time? Or do you have a lot of like retainer clients? How does that work?
Yeah. So we have a lot of retainer clients, but we also have clients that come to us specifically for launches. Usually they're in their second or third iteration of their launch.
Okay.
Because we kind of are a full service, you know, our price points are one that usually new course launches don't come to us. We actually just launched a new service specifically for them where we basically have a day rate where we do everything in one day. And so that's more beginner friendly basically, but most of our clients are already established in the course launch community.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And so on your team, you kind of have all those roles filled in terms of like copywriting, graphic design, ads, and all of that all under one roof?
Exactly. So tech VAs, we have project managers, three copywriters, two graphic designers, Facebook ad strategists, like literally everyone.
That is so fascinating. I love it because it can get really overwhelming as a digital entrepreneur to kind of have to be managing all of those different freelancers and have all of the pieces of the puzzle like working together, right?
Exactly. And I mean, for most people that are launching courses, doing the project management and also managing all the people, that's not their zone of genius. And that's totally okay. But once you realize like, oh, this isn't my zone of genius, let me give this up to somebody whose zone of genius it is, then you can really show up in all your glory during your launch as, you know, the visionary and the person you're supposed to be.
Absolutely. I love that. So how did, Tasha, how did that part of your business come to be? Like, how did you get started in entrepreneurship?
So I feel like I've been an entrepreneur for like ever.
I think that's like all.
I know everybody's story.
Relate to that.
Yeah. My degree is actually in musical theater. So okay. I roundabout way, but I had a blog called The Frugal Fit Girl. Don't have it anymore, but it was all about frugal, healthy living. And I actually launched my first course all about couponing and how to coupon in like a healthy way. And
find, I love
like,
that.
Yeah. So I just got really into the world of blogging and saw a need for virtual assistants. And I was like, want to earn some money for, you know, for student loan pay down and all that stuff. And really, it quickly just snowballed really, really fast to the point of where like 5 months in, I left my full-time job and went all in. And soon after that, just saw the need for, you know, for a bigger team and for people who were experts at what they did so that I could be an expert at what I do. So yeah, that's how it started.
Wow. That's amazing. And so how long did you, did you sell that course for very long, or did the VA stuff kind of like take over quite quickly?
I didn't sell the course for very long. I was telling the story the other day and I was like, I did all the things that like I now tell our clients not to do. Totally. You know, like I went in, I did like one webinar, like six people bought it and I was like, okay, guess that's it. And like never relaunched it again.
That's hilarious.
I love that. But yeah, now I tell people, you know, all the right things to do now.
Totally. It's funny. I also come from a blogging background, and it's funny how, you don't really realize like what a good education that's going to be for when you get more into this kind of world of like B2B type stuff.
Right.
When you come from like a background of, blogging and content marketing and all that kind of thing, it actually like sets you up really well to really understand how all of this can kind of work.
It totally does. And I think especially in terms of the tech, like I was just able to dive in and be like, oh, I don't know maybe the specific platform, but I know one similar to it and just be able to learn it really quickly.
For sure. I felt that way too. And like, I feel like a bit of a dinosaur in terms of blogging. Like I started in 2010. It feels like such a long time ago. And, it was like, you had to learn how to like code stuff on WordPress back then.
Yes.
Like it was, there were no like ready to go themes or like Squarespace making it all easy. Like I was like in the back end of that figuring out the tech. And to your point, like that really helped me. It served me well now because I can now, you know, get new software tools and figure them out like pretty easily and not have this like giant barrier of tech.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Okay. So let's dive in to one of your zones of genius, which is obviously you're like a project management extraordinaire, but you are also very like systems oriented, which I love. I am all about this too. So can you just speak to if somebody's listening and they're like, well, what do you mean systems? Like, what does that even mean? Can you explain that?
Yes. So I think, especially with your audience, like one of the things we all want to do is be able to work less and have our businesses still run, right?
Uh-huh.
So, exactly. So systems are a way to create processes that are repeatable so that you don't necessarily have to be the person doing it. Either we automate the system or we take it out and put it into the hands of somebody like a virtual assistant who can replicate the same process over and over again.
Right. Yeah, I love that. So in terms of like, we'll talk in a minute about what we might use a system for, but in terms of developing a system, basically you're looking at any of those tasks that you're doing in your in managing your business that are repeated. And if they are repeated, in all likelihood, you can develop a system around them. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely. I always tell people to start with a time inventory and look at what you're consistently doing and how you're consistently spending your time. And then just circle all the things that are just like, you know what? Anybody can do this. Like if I create a system, if I nail down the actual process, if I create a video, somebody else can do the exact same thing.
Totally. Not only can somebody else do it, but I think sometimes the other thing that that exercise can allow you to do is really highlight your inefficiencies and be like, okay, well, that actually took me so much more time than I thought it was taking me. And I could probably be doing that in a much more effective kind of way.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like that's probably a lot of people will be nodding their heads thinking about like what they do for Instagram would be like my guess, right?
Of yes.
Like creating graphics and like thinking about your content and spending time doing, you know, on the platform. And it can just suck up so much time to just have an Instagram presence that may not actually be moving the needle forward in your business, given the amount of time you're dedicating to it.
Exactly. So like Instagram, for example, when you actually develop like templates for things and content buckets and those sorts of systems around it, that opens it up that like people won't really, I think people think that people are going to notice it like, oh, if I have templates, you know, or if I have right. a content bucket and I'm doing, you know, a testimonial every Tuesday, people are going to notice. People don't notice. Like,
yeah.
It's beautiful, but on the back end, it's so much easier.
Right. So let's talk about that for a second, because Instagram is going to be one of the things that I wanted to talk about, like what a system could look like. So can you explain, for instance, what like a content bucket means?
Sure, sure. So when we talk about content buckets, we're thinking about when you're thinking about your ideal client, what are the things that they need to know about you, about your product, about your service, in order for them to become a buyer, in order for them to buy into your course or your community or something. Mm-hmm. And so there's certain content buckets that I like to do. Like for testimonials, you know, usually we'll do like a testimonial Tuesday, or a content bucket maybe around education, educating the buyer so that they understand why they need your service or your course or product.
Right.
So you want to think about it in terms of, okay, if you're going to be posting maybe five days a week, maybe have five content buckets in terms of how you can speak to your ideal client. And they don't all have to be like really heavy things. They mm-hmm. can be, maybe you have, you know, a quote on Wednesdays or something light and fun on Thursdays or something about your family. But if you put them into content buckets first and think in terms of like, okay, having five core content buckets, then it's easier to create content for each one of those buckets. So if I'm thinking every Tuesday I'm going to have a testimonial, I can go in and look at all the testimonials I have from my clients and have 12 weeks of Tuesdays already there, right? And then yeah. I just create a graphic template for those and boom, that's my content for Tuesdays.
And are we, when you're talking about that, that would be, it could be like a feed post or a story post, right? It could be both.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll start it as a feed post and then I'll share it to stories and then maybe have a talking head story about it, you know, for 15 seconds or 30 seconds
sure.
that talks a little bit more about the, dives a little bit deeper into that experience with that client or that, you know, student.
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. I like that a lot. So if people are sitting there thinking, okay, well, what could my content buckets be? Things like testimonials, an education piece, that could be something like also agitating pain points for people, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't always have to be like how-to stuff. It can just be, like that more, like almost like polarizing content maybe.
Right.
Like a stand for something. And then, to your point, like working in the personal stuff too, right? Like pictures of you and your family, or mm-hmm. if you like to travel, or if you like going to Target, or like whatever those things are that you can kind of integrate into your brand, that can be a content bucket in and of itself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So cool. The other thing I like about that is that not only does it sort of help you get your thoughts organized, but it also takes away that like, oh, what am I going to post on Instagram today? And like that feeling of overwhelm of not knowing what you're going to talk about. And then also being able to batch it ahead of time. So like, if you don't want to have to worry about Instagram for a month, you could do a giant batching day sticking with your content buckets.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I do with a lot of the women that I work with, the OBMs and the VAs, is we sit down and we have co-working times twice a month. And because they have their content buckets, it's like, okay, I already know my themes for everything. Then they take about 30 minutes to just like brain dump in terms of, you know, types of content or actual pieces of content. They can get definitely a month worth of content out there in like 2 hours,
yeah.
you know, just by doing it that way.
That's amazing. And like, mm-hmm. what an incredible sense of relief.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Okay. So that's Instagram. Can we talk a little bit about email? Like what are some systems type thinking that people can use when it comes to email, maybe both in terms of like email marketing, but also just your email inbox?
Yes. So I know that email inboxes are huge giants for so many people. Yeah.
I've got my hand up. Like my,
I know. One of my friends was like, I have like 47,000 unread emails. And I was like, oh my gosh, my heart, I can't even do it. Okay. But the key is, number one, realize that email is not an emergency. And I have to tell myself this all the time. Like, nobody is going to die because you didn't open their email and answer them in 2.5 seconds. Right. And so I think making time for that and actually scheduling when you are going to check email. I like doing it first thing in the morning, clearing out my inbox, and then last thing before I turn my computer off at night, clearing it out again. And also creating some folders for your inbox and some filters for your inbox. So okay. Not everything really needs to be in your primary inbox. And if you can get all of the junk, all the promotional stuff out to another inbox that maybe you don't check every day, maybe you check that like 2 times a week, right? So that the majority of what's really important is right in front of you. I know that we set up a ton of folders so that things automatically filter to those different folders for my own inbox, and it really started clearing things out. So this is really easy to do in like Gmail. I don't know that it's as easy to do in a lot of other programs.
Can you give us an example of like what are some of the folders that you have?
Yeah.
Inbox?
Yeah, absolutely. So invoices are one of my folders. So anytime one of my team members sends me an invoice, or I have an invoice for like Kartra, I use Kartra for my courses. So anytime that Kartra invoice comes, it automatically tags it as the invoice folder, and it automatically goes there.
Got it.
So that's,
so you can go into that folder and just pay your invoices in one fell swoop.
Exactly. And I know that it has a place. It just doesn't, the place doesn't have to be right in front of my face all the time.
Yeah. That's super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely that's kind of how I've managed it. That it's not as overwhelming. That's also what we do for our clients too. We just make sure that like the first thing that we're doing is creating folders and creating a space for everything. The important thing when you're creating a system is, okay, what are the buckets? And just like the content buckets we're talking about, like what are the buckets of the types of emails that you're consistently getting? Those are probably the first folders that you want to create and the first filing systems that you're going to create in your inbox.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. And then you zero out your email, your primary inbox every day.
Not 100% zero, okay. But
that was really
good. I know I probably got, because like, you know, you always have like the ones that you star and you're like, oh, I need to respond to that.
I know. Do you know what I do? This is so bad. I probably shouldn't even tell you this. But I'll like go and read it, and then I'll go and I'll mark it as unread. So it like goes back to being like something I need to deal with, because I was actually finding I would star it, but then it would disappear.
Yes.
If my starred ones weren't at the top, you know? And I don't want to even think about those things that I like forgot about because I starred it, never went back to it.
I know. No, you definitely have to figure out like, and that's another thing with the system. Like, I don't think that that's a bad thing because you figured out what works for you and what works for your brain and your strategy. Right. And so creating a system is really figuring out, okay, what is my preference? And now I'm going to take that preference and make it a policy. Like that's what you want to do with your system.
Right. I like that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing with Gmail, do you use their canned responses thing?
I 1000% use their canned responses. Okay. So we use canned responses for a number of things. The other thing I wanted to say was like, make sure that not everything is coming into your primary inbox. So I have a Tasha at inbox, but I also have a support at inbox, right? And the support at one is the one where all of like the course questions go to and everything. So then that either you can delegate to a team member if you have a team member, or that's another one where like you can check it maybe 2 or 3 times a week instead of it having to be an emergency type of thing.
Right.
So with that support at inbox is a great place to have canned responses because of the fact that you probably have people emailing you in asking the same types of questions like, how do I change my credit card? How do I find my password? All of those things. So instead of creating a new response every single time. If you just have something on hand where you can copy and paste it, well, basically you don't even have to copy and paste. You can create the canned email in Gmail and just have it there. Yes. It makes it so much easier, and it's consistency on your part so that you don't have to consistently think about it and hold space in your brain for like, oh, did I remember to tell them all the pieces of how to do this thing?
Right. So that was really helpful. So when we, like, let's say we hire somebody to, let's say that our first hire is like a VA to really help us with inbox management. Because I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that often what people will hire out as their first thing?
Yes, that and social media. And 1,000%. Social media.
Mm-hmm. So when you're hiring a VA for the first time and it's for email inbox management, really what would be super beneficial is to have implemented those systems first, so that you're bringing somebody on and they don't need to go and create all of those things. You've done those things. You've created the folders and the filters and the canned responses. And then you just have to delegate that over to that new person.
Exactly. So that would be best case scenario. But I will tell you that 99% of the time, that is not the situation that we like walk into. Okay. Because of the fact that most visionaries, most people that are CEOs of their business and that are the face of their business, that's not their zone of genius, right? Yeah. And so if you at least have thought about what are the folders that you know you're going to need, that's a great place to start. Just even just thinking about it and being able to have a conversation with your VA and say, okay, I haven't created this system yet, but here's what I see as the outline of what the system could be. There, most VAs like that you're going to hire are already going to have done inbox management. So they're going to know how to do the system really well anyway. And right. So it's not something that you necessarily have to have fully built out. It's just a matter of like understanding what questions they're probably going to need you to answer.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Now for social media, we've talked about Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I guess the same thing applies. Let's say we have a Facebook page and maybe a Facebook group or something like that for our business. Mm-hmm. Does the same sort of thing apply of like creating content buckets? And then do you, in terms of systems for social media, do you use software tools to help you kind of manage that for your clients?
Yeah. So for Instagram, I love Planoly. Mm-hmm. I think it's super duper great. It's got great analytics. It's like, it's 100% great. And they have a free plan that you can get started with and then upgrade from there. So that's a really great one for Instagram. For Facebook, we actually used the Facebook native scheduler inside of Facebook, and now it's like Creator Studio and stuff too.
Okay.
Same thing with groups. So we go in, we figure out what our content is actually going to be. We batch for an entire month at a time for ourselves as well as our clients. And so we always know like what our content's going to be for that entire month. And we go in and schedule everything in one fell swoop for the entire month, because then the awesome thing is like, you don't have to think about it again for like another 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Which is always fun. Yeah.
And so you just use the Facebook native scheduler. That's
insane. Yeah.
So, and is that because Facebook prefers that, or why is that?
Yeah, great question. So Facebook, for a while, I was hearing that they preferred that. And so we kind of just stuck with that. We have used like Buffer in the past. We've used Smarter Queue in the past and still do with some of our clients and everything. But I've never found it to be super difficult just to like schedule it in the native scheduler, which is why we just stuck with it. And we were like, even though Facebook says all the other schedulers are fine now, like, you know, why fix something that's not broken?
Agreed. So, yeah. But will you repurpose some posts sometimes?
Yes. And a lot of times if we're repurposing some of the posts, then we'll put it in something like Smarter Queue where it can recycle itself.
Okay.
But if we're not doing as much repurposing, then we'll just use the native scheduler.
Okay.
A lot of times even when we are repurposing content, we're still like changing up pictures or something like that. You just want to like figure out a way to kind of keep it fresh.
Yeah.
And make it feel like it's new, even if it's the exact same copy.
And, with the back end of that, for either for your own business or for your clients, do you have like a Gmail folder where you keep images and copy, or like what does the back end organization of that look like when you're
organizing? Oh, I love this. This is the fun part that like makes me tingle. so we love Google Drive for all things content, right? And so a lot of times what we do internally and both for our clients is we have a folder that has all of our stock photos in it, and then it'll have it broken down by, like, you know, photos, either photos that the client has actually had taken professionally, so like their brand photography, as well as like paid for or purchased stock photos and everything. And then what we do is actually have just a Google document that we send the client that will have several sections, one with the picture and then also, you know, what the suggested caption is, the goal of the actual post, all of those pieces, so that they can fully see what the actual strategic plan is in terms of their content.
That is really interesting. So it's like, it means that each piece of content that you're putting out is very purposeful.
Exactly. Exactly. And one of the things that we really look at is the month before, we like to see, okay, what's coming up? Do they have a launch coming up? Do they have a new opt-in coming up? Did their course just go evergreen and now they really want to promote it and that be the new thing? You know, do they have a podcast? All of those pieces, you want to look at kind of the month before and then lay it out in terms of what do we need to be strategic about in, you know, in what our call to action is and everything.
Right. It yeah. sounds like a lot of work, but actually you're saying that you just batch it all in one day.
Yeah. And it does sound like a lot of work, but when you have those content buckets, so for example, my podcast goes live every Thursday, right? So I know that every single Thursday, my posts are going to be about the new podcast episode. Sure. So if you have things like that already planned, then really you're just filling the holes in terms of like the new stuff that you need.
Right. I love it. So, when I have another question about like, okay, so we talked about like what these systems can look like when you're bringing a staff member on to help you with these things. Like if you've reached that level of your business that you're ready to hire out and bring on a team member, whether it's an agency like yourself mm-hmm. or just a VA for 5 hours a week or something like that, are there things that you can do as the visionary entrepreneur, like the founder, to set up the back end so that things operate more smoothly?
Yes, yes. So what I often see is that when people don't prepare for their team member, it kind of falls apart because mm-hmm. that's when they feel overwhelmed and they're like, well, this feels heavier rather than lighter. So the minute you can prepare or as much as you can prepare, it's just going to make it easier for you and for that team member.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I tell people to do is number one, so you want to do your time inventory. You want to circle all the things that you can take off of your own plate. And then you want to star those first three things that are just like, these are the things that I procrastinate on, or I know that I'm not good at, or I just hate doing.
Yep.
Like that's why inbox management, social media management, usually at the top of the list.
Right. Those right. are the people that, those are the things that people want to hand off.
Right exactly. Away. Yeah. Right away. So once you have those things, then the next thing that you need to do is just document what process you're already doing with those things. Mm-hmm. So the next time you go to schedule your social media or to check your inbox, use Loom to record yourself doing that actual process. And then from there, your team member can easily go and actually create the written SOP, the standard operating procedure of the step-by-step with just that video. So you don't have to do the whole thing. You don't have to create the whole written SOP and take that time. They can do that, but just create some kind of documentation so that they have somewhere to start.
Right. Okay. I'm going to recap that for anybody who's yeah. Tasha was talking fast and I didn't.
Sorry.
I didn't get that. So for those of you who are like, SOP what? So an SOP is a standardized operating procedure. And basically what that does is it gives you the step-by-step instructions of how to carry out that task. And the idea of creating an SOP is that then if you have created those for all of the tasks and systems in your business, then when you bring a team member on, they don't need to come to you asking the question all the time. They can just refer back to those instructions. It's kind of like writing a how-to tutorial for all the bits and bobs that you do. But to Tasha's point, if you don't have the time or don't want to go and create all those SOPs yourself, you can just record the video of you doing the thing using Loom, using QuickTime, using whatever it is that you want to use. And then somebody can follow that video and actually create the written instructions, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, I know that for us, when we created our client onboarding SOP, it was about 12 hours of intense like creation of it, because there's so many steps to it. And I know that most people aren't going to want to put that kind of time into it, which is totally fine, but just start with something documented that your VA can go off of.
Yeah. Even simple things like I know for us, the back end of our system, we have a membership. And so if somebody cancels their membership, it actually isn't automated for the member to be removed from like the member dashboard and the Facebook group. So that's like a really simple thing, but that's an SOP, right? Like a cancellation comes in, and here are like the four steps that we need to take to just like close out that person's account, essentially. Okay, I love that. And the more that we can create systems and processes like that in our business, really the more time it frees up. Like, I think we all start businesses, sure, to like earn revenue and, you know, build our dream lives and all of that. But it's also just to like do the creative work that we felt called to do. And the more that we get stuck in our email inboxes or planning out Instagram or whatever it might be, the less, like the further away from we are from the work that we really want to be doing. And so I really believe in the value of systems like these and automation and all of that kind of thing. And I actually, although of course I totally think that like you delegate and bring on team members, and like we have a team here at gemmabottomcare.com, but a lot of the times the systems and the automation and the tools that are available mean that you may not need as big of a team as you think you do, because a lot of the times these things can be pretty automated. Yeah. Okay, I love that, Tasha. This has been like a really good episode. So I know you have a very juicy freebie that everybody needs to know about. So can you tell them what it is and where they can find it?
So we have a freebie called the 6 Pillars of a Successful Course Launch Project Plan. And this is basically the foundation of how we start every single project plan, be it in Trello or Asana or ClickUp or wherever you want your project plan to go for your course launch. So I think one of the things that gets really overwhelming for a lot of course creators is all the little things that you need to do. So basically, this is just a walkthrough of all the little things that you need to think about and how to kind of start those sections in your project plan. So you can go to thelaunchguild.com/6 pillars and get that there. Six pillars.
And then if people who are listening want more information on your agency and your services, where should they go to get more info on that?
So thelaunchguild.com is a great place to go.
And I think I asked this at the top of the episode, but you do offer one-off services in addition to like ongoing client work. Okay, I think I'm gonna go check it out after.
Thank you.
So everybody, head on over there to learn more about Tasha and her agency and grab that freebie. It sounds amazing. This is a really good episode, Tasha. I think a lot of people are gonna feel like inspired to go and really look at how they're spending their hours as an entrepreneur. So whether you have an hour a night to work on your business, or you have 6 hours a day, or you have weekends, or whatever that looks like for you as an online entrepreneur, there's usually always like inefficiencies that we can find and eliminate, right? And make our businesses like work better and work smarter so that we don't have to necessarily work harder.
Definitely. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Yay. Thanks, Sasha. See you soon.
See ya.
Oh, wasn't that such a good episode? I loved sitting down with that, having that conversation with Tasha. It encouraged me to even go and look at my kind of weekly to-do list and do an audit of what I'm doing in my business and figure out how we can systematize even more to start working way smarter as a team. So I encourage you to do that too. Okay, three things I wanted to let you know about. Number one, if you liked that episode or you dig listening to this podcast in general, could you do me a solid and go leave a rating or review on iTunes? It goes a really long way to helping us continue to make this free content for you. So I would send you some serious virtual hugs if you could do that for us. Secondly, is if you're wanting to launch your own online course, or maybe you have a course and you're just not digging the software platform you're using for it, can I make a recommendation and get you to go try out Teachery. Teachery is the online course software program that I use for all of my programs, and I'm obsessed with it. It's amazing. And I have a sweet deal. You can go get a free month of Teachery if you use my affiliate link. So head on over to teachery.co/Gemma. They're amazing. Jason, the creator, is a pal of mine, and it's just an incredible software program. Last thing I wanted to tell you about is the free masterclass we have. So if you have a course or a digital offer and you're ready to make more sales, you're ready to create an evergreen machine, you're ready to basically blow up your business, well, you need to go and watch my free class, okay? It's gonna change the way you think about growing and scaling your digital business. There are gonna be some major light bulb moments, some major mic drop moments. You're gonna walk away with a huge action plan for yourself, okay? So head on over, the link is right with this episode. Go attend that free masterclass and let me know what you think. All right, that is it for this episode. I will see you in the next one.